All right. Feel right at home in Chicago. Although, I guess since it was Marvin that put this together, we ought to feel at home in Jamaica or something. Thanks, Marvin. Thanks, choir. All right, well, Merry Christmas. Wow. Merry Christmas. Sir, makes it feel like Christmas when you've got a choir swaying. Wow. I dare you to sway as you sit. I don't know. Maybe. And red robes. Feels like. So here's the question, though. What is Christmas about? What is it about? Is it about being able to leave from here and going, oh, that was awesome service? Is that what Christmas is about? The American storyteller Garrison Keillor, he once claimed that you don't have to believe in Jesus to have a great Christmas. Keillor explained that however you celebrate Christmas, it'll always live deep in our hearts. Or, actually, he said, it'll always live deep in our neocortex. Because, he claimed, Christmas is all about neuron impulses. This is what he said. He said, quote, it's your brain that sends tears to your eyes when you smell the saffron cookies that your grandma used to make. It's your brain that sends tears to your eyes when you sing Silent Night, Holy Night. So, Keillor explained, really the important stuff of Christmas is, in the first place, the lights. That'll get your neuron impulses jumping. Second of all is the food. That gets your neuron impulses, like, woke up. Number three is song. You got to sing. I mean, you got to have a choir with robes. Everything, like, just gets your impulses going. And number four, being with people you like. And Garrison Keillor said, you need no more. Now, I doubt if any of us are actually convinced of that explanation. In fact, I'm not even sure that Garrison Keillor was all that serious about his proposition. Perhaps he was just challenging us with that very question. What is Christmas about? What is it about? Amen. Okay, but Apostle Paul had a little more, so I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5, because in our Christmas theme, Light of the World, Paul has a very clear answer to that question. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 5, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. In other words, what Paul is saying is, in the first place, Christmas is about our redemption. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's an unbelievable transition for our lives. It's an unbelievable transition for our world. a dramatic change. And it happens in your life. It happens in our world, from darkness to light. That means that your very identity is no longer darkness. Your very identity, who you are and what makes you who you are, is no longer darkness, but light. Everything that darkness represents, all of the chaos, all of the brokenness in your life, all of the fear, all of the evil, and all, even death itself, it no longer defines who you are. But rather, your life is light. And all of the things that light refers to, your life is love. Your life is now joy. Your life is now peace. Your life now emits hope. That's what defines your life. No longer the circumstances and the situations do they have to dictate who you are, how you live, because a Savior has come. A Savior has come, and that means that you who were once in darkness are now light. The late U.S. Senator John McCain recalled a story in his faith journey. He said, "When I was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, my captors would tie my arms behind my back and then loop the rope around my neck and ankles so that my head was pulled down between my knees. And I was often left like that throughout the night in tremendous pain. And one night, a guard came into my cell. He put his finger to his lips, signaling for me to be quiet. And then he loosened my ropes enough to relieve my pain. And then the next morning, when his shift was over, he re-entered my cell and he re-tightened all of the ropes as if nothing ever happened." And then John McCain writes, "A month or so later, on Christmas Day, I was standing in the dirt courtyard when I saw that same guard and he approached me. He walked up, stood silently next to me, not looking or smiling at me at all. And then he used his sandaled foot to draw a cross in the dirt. We stood wordlessly looking at that cross, remembering the true light of Christmas, even in the darkness of a Vietnamese prison camp." That's what Christmas is about. In the midst of darkness, light has come. Jesus has come. He's come into this world, and his life is our light. Christ has come. Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Isaiah chapter 60. Christmas is about your redemption. You were once darkness, but now you are light. But Paul has a little bit more to say. It's not just about your redemption. Paul calls us then to live as children of the light. Christmas is about living as children of the light because Jesus is born. The image here is one of family. We're family. We're brothers and sisters, but we are most of all sons and daughters of the living God, a God who has come down to us. We're children of God because Jesus has come. We're family. But if sin and darkness separate us from our own Creator, what a celebration then to be reunited with the one who made us, who crafted us, who intimately knows us even better than we know ourselves. And so our identity changes, but so does our action, and so do our attitudes change. Because we belong to someone greater than us. We belong to someone who has crafted us, created us to live in a certain way. And so our actions change. The way we live changes. Paul calls it, in the beginning of chapter 5, he calls it to live in the way of love in verse 2. And he calls it in verse 9, to live in the fruit of light, which is probably a mixed metaphor. And Paul knew that, and so he explained it quite explicitly. He says, live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in these three things: in goodness, all goodness, and in justice, and in truth. Live as children of the light. What does that mean? It means live your life in such a way that you live in all goodness. Live your life in such a way that you live in justice. Live your life in such a way that you live completely in truth. Thanks to the story by Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Maybe you saw the movie or read the book even over this Christmas season, or maybe you ought to. But because of that story, we have a term for people who remain yet living in darkness. We call them a Scrooge. And the end of the story reveals something of what it means to live as children of the light. If you recall the story at all, after Scrooge has been visited by the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future, then Scrooge has a change of heart. For you were once darkness, and now you are light. And all goodness happens when Scrooge sends a giant turkey to the Cratchit household. Mr. Cratchit, the one who works for Scrooge, sends a giant turkey to bless them, and he attends his nephew's Christmas party after all. It's all goodness now. And Scrooge has changed his life. Justice happens when he tends to Tiny Tim's infirmities and when he shares his wealth with the have-nots, recognizing that, wow, I've got a lot. It's not all just mine. And truth happens when Scrooge is able to see the delight of his own gratefulness instead of being caught, enslaved, bound in the darkness of his own greed. What's Christmas about? It's about our redemption. But it's also about learning to live as children of the light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. What's Christmas about? It's all about redeeming all things. That's what exposing the fruitless deeds of darkness is all about. That's what it's all about. Paul says, don't just avoid the darkness. No, expose the darkness. Expose it to the light. It means to shine the light of hope for a people caught up in fear and hatred. Don't just walk away from them, but expose that darkness to the light of Jesus entering our world. It means to share the good news of peace on earth to a world caught in chaos and violence. It means to reflect the brightness of Christmas joy, the joy that you are experiencing here today, the excitement, the thrill of it. Share it on the misery and the despair of other people's lives. Dare to enter into that misery with them. Walk with them as long as it takes to reveal the light in the midst of darkness. For the light has come and the darkness will not overcome it. Exposing the fruitless deeds of darkness means to walk in the way of love. Exposing the shadows of selfishness within your own soul. Every aspect of our life can be redeemed in that way. Whether it's the deeds of other people or whether it's our own selfishness, even time can be redeemed. Roy Borges was committed to prison for 45 years for armed robbery down in the States. Roy spent 45 years there, and in his 15th year, he realized on Christmas Day that this was the loneliest, the worst Christmas he would ever experience. He was assigned to solitary confinement along with several other prisoners, and so they were put in individual cells in a particular quad. And on that Christmas Day, in desperation and loneliness, he picked up a Bible and started reading, and he read the story of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, being in prison. And they spent their time singing songs. And Roy Borges wondered to himself in that 15th year of his prison sentence whether he could sing songs and whether he could actually praise God in the midst of solitary confinement. And then he writes, "Suddenly I heard a voice come out of the vent above the toilet. It was Andrew in the next cell. 'Merry Christmas, Roy,' he said. 'Merry Christmas, Andrew,' I replied. 'Do you know any Christmas songs?' Andrew asked. 'Yeah, I know a few.' 'I'll sing one if you sing one,' he said. 'What should we sing?' 'Joy to the World.' And Andrew sang every verse. I sang the chorus with him, and then it was my turn, and I chose Silent Night, because it was short. And then he sang, 'O Come, O Ye Faithful.' And I answered with Feliz Navidad. 'I have another song,' Andrew said. And he sang, 'O Holy Night.' And when he sang that song, silence filled the quad as everyone listened. And it was a moment, Roy writes, I'll never forget. It not only reminded me of Paul and Silas, but it made me realize that every day is Christmas when God has arrived. It wasn't just another day, and I wasn't alone. Emmanuel, God with us, was in confinement with me in my cell, blessing me." I wonder if that's our problem on Christmas Day. Translating Christmas into the everyday. Tomorrow, the next day, after the new year, in the ordinary days, the long days of January. Can we translate this into the everyday? We know that Jesus came to redeem all creation. But it's easy to think, oh, well, I can't save the world. And it may then seem too small a thing to merely expose the darkness. We want everything to be bright lights. We want everything to be immediately turned into wondrous light. We want everything to be extravagant light. We want everything to be immediately into powerful light. And so it may seem that our walking as children of the light is, well, too small. Too childish even, perhaps. Too insignificant. Too ineffective. You were once darkness, but now you are light. In the Genesee Diary, Henry Nouwen makes a great analogy to encourage us. Help us identify as people of the light in the midst of all of the small, maybe even childish, perhaps insignificant things that we seem to do. He writes about his experience, Henry Nouwen does, in a monastery, the Christmas scene, he says, that someone arranged under the altar was probably the most meaningful creche that I had ever seen. It was three small wood-carved figures made in India. A poor woman, a poor man, a small child. The carving is simple. It's nearly primitive. No eyes, no ears, no mouths, just the contours of the faces. And the figures were smaller than a human hand. Nearly too small to attract attention at all from the audience. But then a beam of light shines on the three figures and projects large shadows on the walls of the sanctuary. And that says it all. The light thrown on the smallness of Mary, Joseph, and the child projects them as large, hopeful shadows against the walls of our life and against the walls of our world. While looking at the intimate scene, we already see the first outlines of the majesty and the great glory that they represent. But without that radiant beam of light shining into the darkness, there is little to be seen. But everything changes with the light. So make sure that this Christmas you celebrate with the ambition to make every day filled with the meaning of Christmas. It's about our redemption. And it's about walking as children of the light. And it's about redeeming all things in the light of the Savior born to us today. Let's pray together. God, we're really glad that we can be here together today. We're delighted in the celebration that we so enjoy. May it remind us of the light that we are, so that we go from this place to live as children of the light, to bring and expose from the darkness the light of the world. You, Jesus, are the light of the world. And so we give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are our Savior, and you have given us life. Holy Spirit, enter into our lives this day so that Jesus may be alive, not just deep in our hearts, but alive in our very actions and in our very attitudes and in all that we commit to. And may all the glory and honor be to you, Lord Jesus, for you came to earth as a little baby. And now you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.